All right, just would like to mention that we do, this is a multimedia presentation, and we want to give credit, EAA wants to give credit for audiovisual support from SolidWorks. So opening the Founders Innovation Prize, it really is that. It was something that our founder, Paul Poberesny, started. So let's just have a look and see a little bit about Paul. So he was an innovator too. His innovative approach to sport aviation created EAA, which gave us AirVenture, Sport Air Workshops, the Flight Advisor and Technical Counselor Program, and the Young Eagles Program, even more than that. He designed 6 airplanes, and he specifically designed them so that EAA members could build those airplanes. And I'm sure there are some builders in here who have either built those airplanes that Paul designed or have flown them. And for safety, he began the safety push, and he did that by imploring everyone who built a home-built airplane to install shoulder harnesses in their airplanes. And I can tell you there are probably a lot of airplanes out there, not home-builds necessarily, but you know, older antiques and older commercial airplanes that don't have shoulder harnesses yet, but they still meet FAA standards. All right, so now, we want to talk a little bit about innovation, so let's step it off with this. What we're going to try to do is for the competition itself, we want the audience to be able to vote on who they think the winner should be. So what we're going to do is a little practice session to see if we can make that work the way we think it should. So the operative phone number here is send a text to 863-250-3891. And the question is, which aircraft designer has created the most innovative designs? And this list of 5 is just kind of a short list of people that we could think of on a short-term basis, but it's Bill Lear, Clyde Cessna, Burt Rutan, Donald Douglas, and Kelly Johnson. And there are many more, but out of this 5, go ahead and text just with a single number. If you think it's number 1, go for it. Number 5, go for it, that sort of thing. Just with a single number, and we'll show that here at the end of the introduction. So those are innovators. And let's talk a little bit more about Paul. Let's see what he really, really wanted to do. In 2015, he challenged EAA, all of us, to find innovative solutions to reduce the experimental amateur-built aircraft accident rate by 50% over 10 years, and primarily the stall spin accident rate. So what's the progress? How have we been doing since the FIP began? Now, one of the resources that EAA has for accident data is Ron Wantaya. So I talked to Ron, and I wanted to know, what is his report? What has he been able to see since the year 2015? So this is a similar slide. Now, if you look at the years, the EAB stall spin accident summary since 2015, we were fairly flat between 2015 and 2016. We got a nice drop in 2017, and then for whatever reason, we really don't know, we had a spike in 2018. But on balance, if you look at 2019, we're kind of back to where we thought we were. The trend is going down. That's the direction that we want it to go. But there are a couple other things that the statistics don't tell you. Since 2015, 4,918 experimental amateur-built aircraft have been added to the GA fleet. And that's amazing, and I'll tell you why that's really amazing. The EAB fleet has gone from 6.8% to 9.4% of the entire GA fleet. The true significance of the accident numbers and the increase in airplanes is that if you go to the advisory circular for the additional pilot program, maybe there's some folks in here who have done that. I know that I have done it. They say that in the first 8 hours of flying a previously unflown experimental airplane, that is where the highest risk is. So look at that, 4,918 airplanes since 2015 have gone through that risk process and yet held these stall spin accident rates so low and continuing to decrease. So we're increasing the number of airplanes in our fleet and we're reducing the number of our stall spin accidents, and that's a really, really good thing. All right, let's talk a little bit about the FIP prize itself. FIP began with a planning committee, and the planning committee decided that they would design the trophy. The trophy is actually a mixture of fabric and wood. aluminum and rivets, and carbon fiber encircling the original EAA logo. After they did the basic design, they had the construction done by artist Alan Westby. It's a really beautiful thing. The winners of the FIP, their names will be engraved on the permanent plaque, which will go to the EAA Museum, and they'll have the smaller trophies to take home, which is a just terrific thing to have on your mantle. So what's the FIP process? What process have we been following since 2016 when we actually started? So in 2016, we had 132 entries, and it was kind of a blizzard. We had a lot of things that we never even thought about. Went from training to electronic hardware to things that we can add to the cockpit, oral indications, vibrating indications, things like that. And the judges had to sift through that. Five judges had to go through 132 entries and nail it down, boil it down to five. 57 entries in 2017, 35 in 2018, about the same at 33 in 2019. But 2021 is different. Instead of taking entries from outside of this group of people who have already won, we're only allowing the previous finalists and honorable mentions to apply. And the judges then went through that short list to come up with the five that we are going to see this evening. The number of entries this year actually boiled down to about 12. Now here are the previous winners, and I'd like to talk a little bit about them because they're all really terrific people. They've done a great job working on their projects, and they've continued since they won to work on their projects. So in 2016, the winner was Ihab Awad with Airball. He is going to be presenting also tonight. The 2017 winners, it was a group called Remora Systems, Thomas Barron, Justin Zhu, and Maxwell Lord. In 2018, the winner was Fly On Speed. The team was Mike Vaccaro, Cecil and Christopher Jones. And then finally, in 2019, the winner was Ethan Brodsky with a concept called Buzzball. So all of those had the opportunity to apply to be one of the finalists this year, and a few of them are actually in. Mike Vaccaro with Fly On Speed and Ihab Awad, a winner, is going to be here with Airball plus three others. So let's go back and find out, what did you think? Who was the most innovative designer from this list of five? I have the answer. Oh, terrific. I hope that everyone would pick this. The overall winner was Bert Rutan, and that's kind of what we think also. Just think about what's just happened in the last two or three weeks. Bert Rutan began with the very easy, and his concept was actually of reducing stall spin accidents, because the concept behind the very easy was that the canard would stall before the main wing. So if the canard stalled, the nose would kind of bob down, the airplane would start flying again, and if you kept the stick back, it would bob down, but you never truly lost control of the airplane. Bert's thinking, that was very innovative at the time, but look where Bert went. Bert thought, look, why does only NASA astronauts go into space? Why does the government have to fund a space program? We can do that ourselves. And he came up with the concept of launching an airplane into space, suborbital flight, putting it into a feather mode so it can come back and enter the atmosphere without excessive heating, return to take the feather out, make it an airplane again once the Mach number got down below a certain value, and land like an airplane. And that concept was proven with the Virgin Galactic VSS Unity just 3 weeks ago. An absolutely terrific concept. Thank you for voting for Bert. Let's give it up for Bert Rutan. Terrific guy. Okay, so let's begin the rest of the evening. What I'd like to do next is introduce the judges for tonight. I would like to be able to introduce Charlie Precourt as the chief judge, but Charlie's family had an emergency and he's not going to be able to attend AirVenture. He's taking care of things at home, which is exactly what we'd expect him to do. So what we've done is we filled in that panel, and I'll tell you who's going to be on it. I think that you'll find that the panel of judges has just the right balance of experience. We've got backgrounds in academia, we've got an aerobatic pilot, we've got a pilot that's involved in test flying, we've got an accident investigator, and we've got a guy who has been involved heavily in kit development and manufacture. So I'd like to introduce them in the order that they're going to be seated here. And first up, Pat Anderson, can you come out? Hello, Pat. There he comes. Good. So Pat is going to be our chief judge. He's been a two-time judge, so he's been here before, and he knows exactly what he's looking for as in terms of judging the participants. Pat is a professor of aerospace engineering at Embry-Riddle University in Florida. He is director of the Eagle Flight Research Center, and where they evaluate concepts for future hybrid and electric aircraft. He used to have 7 airplanes in his hangar. He said he's down to 3 this evening. And Pat, which one of the 3 is your favorite?
It's whichever one I'm flying right now.
Very good. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate it. Next, we have a guy that we all know and love when he's out flying aerobatics, Mike Gulian. Mike, come on in. There he is. So a few things about Mike that you probably didn't know. Mike was the U.S. National Aerobatic Champion at age 22. He's the youngest person ever to become the U.S. National Aerobatic Champion. He spent a lot of time in the Red Bull Air Race World Series from 2004 to 2019. There was a little break in there, but those were the years that